Morning, church. It is a joy to be with you this morning. Neighborhood Church is an incredibly important church to children in Africa, to children in Uganda. You don't know how important you are as a church. You don't know the impact that you have had. And I can't convey it to you in the time that we have. I would love to be able to, but I am a frail man that cannot possibly be able to explain what God has done through your church. But man, if I can't try. So that's my joy this morning to be with you, to be able to share a little bit about Hope Alive. I was asked to give a little update, so I'm going to do that in a minute. But before I do that, I want to give a little update on our family. You sponsor us as missionaries. So we are missionaries. We raise support through World Venture. They send us to Uganda. And so Neighborhood Church sends money to us monthly so that we can live in Uganda and serve, and so that we cannot pull money away from Hope Alive that should be going to children and use it to live there. You know, when you sponsor a child, we want that sponsorship to go to them, not to us. And so we raise support as missionaries, and your church sponsors us. So we want to say thank you. It has been a joy to be with you guys for a few years now as a supported missionary of your church. My name is Caleb. This is Suze, but more importantly, that is Suze. We've been married here for way a long time. And so we have three boys. They are 14, 12, and 9, I believe. Okay, good. Judah, Levi, and Asher. Judah, and that's the age, oldest to youngest. And they are gifts from God, but they also have some different challenges that we're walking through. So we are back on a one-year home assignment in the U.S. Home assignment's a funny word when you're a missionary. You're not quite sure where home is. But for us, home this year is in Pennsylvania, near Suze's family, so that we can figure out some academic problem solving with kids that are growing up and have been raised in an academic setting that doesn't quite support their needs. And then COVID and all this stuff, and we're like, okay, we need some different helps, so let's figure that out. So we're trying to figure that out over the year, but I don't know if we're going to be able to. So we're just holding our hands open to what God has for us, knowing that the thing that God has called us to, first and foremost as parents, is to shepherd and steward the lives of our children. And so we're going to do that. Secondarily, the thing that God has called us to is to shepherd and steward the gift of the ministry of Hope Alive. And so we want to continue to do that no matter where we are able to call home as we take care of our children and keep them in a path that will help them develop. So that's where we are. We're on a year home assignment in the U.S., and so it's a joy to be with you today, and hopefully while we're here, we can spend more time together. That would be a gift from God. That is an update from us. I want to do a little update related to Hope Alive. To do that, I wanted to bring in the psalmist's refrain from Psalm 135, and even the pattern that he lays out as far as what he praises and what he exalts, how he moves through the history of Israel in Psalm 135. But I want to do it in regards to Uganda and Hope Alive. Maybe you guys are familiar with us, maybe you aren't. Maybe you're familiar with the challenges of Uganda, maybe you're not. So this will give you a bit of a picture as we go through Psalm 135 related to Hope Alive. In Psalm 135, the psalmist uses the refrain, "The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever." And he says these different things that God has done, and then he says, "The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever," after each thing. And so I want to do the same thing with you, but I want to use a picture, maybe share a bit on a few of them, and then I want you to say, and I'll do it with you, "The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever," as we actively recall with our lips and with our body the goodness of God. Here's number one, and it is just the fun, the joy, the energy of life in the lives of the children. We are a ministry that works with kids in Uganda. And the psalmist says in Psalm 135, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The steadfast love Amen. Steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. You see it on their faces. We want to proclaim Jesus Christ to these children, that they would know him, that they would love him. So we say, we give thanks to the God of gods, the steadfast love. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. We give thanks to the Lord of lords. He alone who does great wonders. This is Catherine with Hope. Hope is a graduate of Hope Alive. She is a mentor. She is a current mentor in Hope Alive. She is a woman who's using her life to honor Jesus. And this is her on her graduation with Catherine. And it's truly a great wonder when we see children raised from very difficult circumstances to the places of influence in their communities. And that is a great wonder. To him who stretched out the skies above the savannah, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who spread out the hills in Kisoro to the mountains of Kabon, from the southwest of Uganda to the northeast, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. If you know much about Uganda, you may know about the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, that used child soldiers to wreak havoc on a nation for 20 years. We say, to him who struck down the evil of the LRA, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who sent missionaries and aid workers and hope and help from every corner of the globe to this beautiful country, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who called and placed Catherine Kuhn in a remote village in Uganda, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who has lifted the poor and the vulnerable, this is the church that Hope Alive partnered with to begin its ministry in Kampala, Lugogo Baptist Church. To him who set his church as a light in the darkness, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who has raised up sponsors and servants to serve his church and his people in Uganda, to him who has opened the eyes and the hearts of children in Uganda, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who has united people from different tribes and tongues and backgrounds, the steadfast love. To him who has provided abundant resources to accomplish his work. This is one of our libraries at our sites. To him who has fed, clothed, and taught the children of Uganda for over 20 years, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. To him who has brought hope where there was no These are the children of Coach Lee. It is a community that has, since the war, since the LRA, not advanced. It has been stuck in small-scale agriculture, children without education, mud huts and farming is all that there is. But over the last year or 2 years, we've been able to build buildings and begin to plan for ministry that God will do in this community. There's the first evangelical church is being planted in October in this building, in this pavilion, with these children there. This is our first outreach to them in January of this year. So hope where there was no hope. The steadfast love of the Lord really does endure forever. May we remember it. May we recall it. May it be present on our lips and in our hearts day after day. I want to talk to you guys today about the goodness of God through the lens of the choices that we make and how those choices affect or even kind of sometimes be made out of poverty, but it also is a privilege. Choice is a privilege. It is a gift from God. It is a sacred gift from God. So we're going to talk about choices, and then we're going to offer up a choice to you guys. I want to tell you a story of a man who walked past a boy, not just one boy, but a group of boys. And these group of boys were playing in the dirt. They were causing trouble. They were doing what boys do. And this man walked by this group, and for some reason, God poked his heart. And he saw one of the boys, not all of them. He saw one, and he kept walking. Then he came back the next day, and that boy he noticed again. It was a boy who seemed angry, a boy who was violent, a boy who at a young age was very, very broken. His grandmother was frail, his grandfather paralyzed. He didn't know where his mother was, and he didn't know who his father was, if he had one. He was a boy who his grandmother, in a sense, was doing the best that she could to cope with life. But one of the decisions that she made was to bring him to the bar every night. And every night that she was at the bar, she would give him just enough alcohol to have him fall asleep there at the bar so she could continue on to deal with her own issues and challenges in the way that she handled them at the bottom of a bottle. So from the time that he was very young to the time that that man saw him on the road as about 7 years old, he was asleep every night at that bar. And asleep is a generous term for the word, or for what the reality of the situation was. So he was a boy that was angry, and he was a boy that would abuse his grandfather every night. His grandfather was paralyzed, and he didn't know what to do with all the anger that he had inside of him, and so he could take it out on the one person who couldn't do anything back to him. The man who walked by that young man, God poked his heart, and God said, I need to do something. That boy is not okay. He's not on a right path. But God, what do I do? What can I do as a man in Uganda who is barely making it myself? What can I do? So he stopped by and he visited with the grandmother and he got to know them a bit and he found out the boy's name. So he took that name and he went back to the mentors of Hope Alive and in Gulu, he himself being a mentor in the, of Hope Alive. A mentor, someone who walks alongside the children that we have in our program. So he said, guys, we need to pray for this boy. There's something wrong with this young man. It's not okay. So they prayed, and then they waited. And a year later, they got a call, and that call came, and it said someone in the U.S. was wanting to sponsor a child. So they have a whole list of children that they could sponsor, a whole lot of different needs available. And they went through and they prayed and they submitted that to the Lord. And they said, God, who do you lead us to sponsor who? And they chose that young man. His name is Walter. Walter joined Hope Alive at the age of 7 or 8. He was just as angry and just as violent inside of our compound as he was outside of our compound. He didn't know love. He didn't know hope. He didn't know the thing that he was going to be safe inside those walls. He never felt safe. Didn't know what that looked like. But as he went through the program year after year, lesson after lesson, hug after hug, meal after meal, he let his guard down. And as he was testifying this January and recalling the 10 years of ministry that he had been in Hope Alive, he recalled that some point along the line, I don't remember when it happened, I began to listen. At some point, everyone else was praying, so I said, well, maybe I should pray. At some point, God was speaking to me, and so I had to give my life to him. So I gave my life to him. He said, and this is his testimony. he said. There are two people that changed my life. Two people. I remember that man who walked along the road, and I don't know why he saw me, but he saw me. That man became his mentor and has walked with him for the last 10 years. William is his name, the mentor, is an incredible man of God in this community, and I'm thankful for him. And he said, the second person that I know, and I know their name, I've never met them. I don't know if I've ever received a letter from them, but I pray for them every day now, and that's my sponsor. And I'm so thankful that that person decided to change my life. There are choices that we make in this broken world, choices that might seem innocuous in the moment, but have profound impact as time and faithfulness play themselves out. William made such a choice. God poked his heart. I don't know how God poked his heart, but he poked him for this young man. He said, there's something wrong. There's a problem here. And then William became an agent of change in his community and in Walter's life because he made a simple decision to not ignore the poke of God in his life. And he stepped towards Walter, and he kept walking with Walter no matter what happened to him. And some stuff happened, but I won't go there. What do we do when we face the same situation as William? How do we make decisions, and do we make them in a way that honors the sacred gift of choice that God has put before us? That says, this is actually a decision. I can actually do something in this moment, and I should stop, and I should think about it, and I should consider why God has made me aware of this thing in this moment. Why God has put